Buckmaster, along with my friend Bob Dio. Bob is on the other side of the glass today as Ray Allen takes a nice vacation this week for the 4th of July week. We are coming to you from AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Have our worldwide live listening at KVOI.com and, of course, my website, BuckmasterShow.com. Monday, we get things going with our Monday political face-off. The number is 790-2040 is our live line number if you would like to join in the conversation. John Munger is here, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Arizona Board of Regents, and 2010 Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Also with us, Dr. Don Jorgensen, former chairman of the Pima County Democratic Party. Don, how was your weekend?
We had a great time. Nice party with some friends yesterday and, you know, grilled burgers and kind of an early 4th of July barbecue.
There you go.
Just beautiful, beautiful day.
John, what about you? Would you play any golf or anything?
Played a little golf. Mm-hmm. Just nine holes, but had a lot of fun.
Kick back a little bit.
Yeah.
Monday Political Face-Off, sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, family-owned and run since 1985. Moe and his wonderful family there specialize in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls. They have some beautiful art in the shop. Of course, they do their signature iconic part of the business is the picture framing. And of course, Mo will come out to the house. He'll do all the hanging for you, so making sure everything is on the wall the way you want it to be. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Lots to talk about today. Don and John, let's begin with the Mexico. Mexicans went to the polls yesterday, and leftist Andres Manuel Lopez Obrador, I guess Don Jorgensen, third time is a charm because he is the president-elect of Mexico.
He is, and it comes back to one of the old sayings that's always true in politics is timing is everything. Mm-hmm. This is the third time. He moved a little bit away from the extreme left to the left while the population had enough of what was happening from the right, and so they moved in the same direction. And the interesting thing about this vote is the similarities with some aspects of the voting here 2 years ago and what may happen again this year and perhaps 2 years from now. You had basically a rejection of the two parties. The two largest parties, the ones who have been in power forever, lost.
He
came from a different angle, more of a kind of democratic socialist, if you want to put that label on, as some have tried
populist.
To do. Yeah, he describes it as a populist. His focus was on helping the poor, fighting corruption. I think he referred to the other parties and the folks in power as a mafia of power, you know, and working really focused on the issues related to youth. The result was the largest turnout in history in Mexico for voting and the largest turnout by younger voters.
Wow.
And what you have here, you could compare him very easily to a Bernie Sanders type candidate. Mm-hmm. And in this case, as you said, not only did he win, he also won his party, if you will, or that group, won control of the Mexican Congress as well.
90% turnout, something like that, John Munger. Huge turnout.
Well, it's a seminal event in Mexico, and I agree with Don. This was clearly a populist election. I think that populism seems to be the movement now throughout the world, certainly in Eastern Europe, the United States, now Mexico, Italy.
Austria, yeah, it goes on and on.
You know, people are rejecting the self-appointed elites.
Kind of status quo.
I liken this this fight against corruption in Mexico, which is long overdue. Very similar. I like Don's analogy. This gentleman goes by AMLO, Lopez Obregón, but he is very much like Bernie Sanders. He's got that populist streak in him. He's also surprisingly, in many ways, like Donald Trump, in the populist streak. Very similar to the concept of draining the swamp. And I think both Bernie Sanders and Trump had that attraction that they wanted to drain the swamp. Bernie didn't talk about it in those terms. Trump does, but that's the concept, is get out the people that have been the bureaucrats and the corrupt people, and there's various levels of corruption, soft corruption, hard corruption, but get the people out who've been there forever, who don't care what people think, with a capital P, and let's have government that is responsive to the people. I think one of the important elements of this is thinking about how this is going to reflect affect the United States and Mexico and their dealings together. I think that the Mexico, to the extent that we're having a populist movement there, I think that's excellent. I think it's long overdue, and I commend and hope that he's successful. But I do think that Mexico is becoming a relatively wealthy nation, was moving out of the developing nation stage, and I think they're going to most likely to go backwards. We'll see with a more socialist movement. You're going to have foreign companies less likely to move in there. That means fewer jobs. You're going to have more Mexican entrepreneurial types who create jobs moving money to other countries, including the United States. So it's good in some ways and problematic in other ways.
How does all this play, Don Jorgensen, with the North American Free Trade Agreement?
That's huge. Interesting. I think that kind of speculation, which is typical from the right, that this will cause businesses to flee, is very premature and certainly wasn't borne out in the reaction of the stock market. I think it dropped maybe 1% and is correcting. So there's a wait-and-see attitude with that. What's it, AMLO? It sounds like a gas.
AMLO.
Sounds
it's
like a
Antonio
gas
Manuel Lopez Obrador.
Right. President-elect has said is that he's not opposed to NAFTA and to adjusting it. Right now he wants it to stay in place, but is open to having talks, and so has kind of sent that olive branch out to Donald Trump. We'll see what happens with that.
Which is good.
Yeah, it is good. You know, they're right now they're both saying the right things.
Yes.
We'll see what happens in practice. His focus was on reducing corruption and addressing the increased violence. And that was one of the promises that came from the party 4 years ago, that really the public there made a deal with the devil in bringing the PAN party back in, thinking that they'll be able to deal with those folks.
Well, they brought the PRI back in.
Right. I'm sorry. Yeah, they brought the PRI back in. And obviously that didn't happen. So the hope now is that they, by cleaning house, as you're saying, perhaps we'll see what it actually looks like in Mexico to drain the swamp, unlike what we've seen here. And that may provide that opportunity for businesses to feel more confident going in rather than dealing with the narco-terrorism and everything
I think that's true, Don. That's a very positive sign. I was talking in terms of the negative aspects about the problems of the leftist social programs this man's talking about. That's going to mean potentially higher taxes, and I'm concerned that the peso will ultimately drop as money flows out of the country and fewer jobs are created in the country. One of the things I'm really interested in is the effect on the cartels and on the drug movement of drugs. One of the things that AMLO has talked about is that he wants to, as he calls it, quit fighting America's drug war for them.
Mm-hmm.
And what he's talking about is making peace with the cartels, where they're going to reduce crime and killings by not fighting what he calls America's drug war, which from the Mexican point of view is not absurd. I mean, but for the fact that we create the demand up here for drugs, they wouldn't have the drug problems and the cartel problems down there. So it's not totally absurd to see his point of view. It's going to leave us in a position where we're going to have much less ability to stop drug creation and drug movements in Mexico, and we're going to have to fight that battle here in the U.S.
DEA may be having a lot of trouble with their assets down there with this new
leader. López Obrador is not going to be very cooperative with American DEA people in Mexico. It's always been sub rosa anyway. They've never wanted to admit that there were Americans down there helping.
Right.
And they may not be receptive to having any further help. And we could just have the drug cartels become another large business in Mexico that prospers as long as we create a market.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. After you've been over at Moe's, how about going up to Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, the northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Great place to stop by right now for one of those great sandwiches on that bread that came out of the oven just a couple of hours ago. Steve gets up so early, the owner with his team of bakers, making sure your bread is going to be nice and fresh for your sandwich. At noon, go to buckmastershow.com. There's a link there to Mona's Danish Bakery and all of our partners here on the Buckmaster Show. We'll take our break right now. We'll be right back. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. In case you haven't heard, a recent state performance audit says the Regional Transportation Authority is meeting performance and budget expectations on voter-approved RTA plan delivery. Now in its 12th year of plan implementation, the RTA is committed to delivering the remaining projects with the community's support to improve our regional transportation system. Working together for a better future, visit rtamobility.com. As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito River Walk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Welcome back. back. It is the Buckmaster Show. It's our Monday political face-off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. John Munger and Dr. Don Jorgensen with me in studio. I think I'm going to change the topic here. We were talking about the Mexican elections. I wanted to talk a little bit about CNN was reporting over the weekend that white deaths outpace white births in more than 50% of the states, including Arizona. And by 2045, the USA population will be less than half white. How does this play out, John Munger, politically?
Well, that's fine with me. I mean, it is what it is. And I think that all I want from any citizen of the United States is to assimilate. And I think people from other countries, other races, are fully capable of assimilating to the United States. So that doesn't bother me as a racial matter at all. I think that the Democrats think this is a wonderful thing for them because they, for many years now, have played the identity politics game. But what you're seeing is that they can no longer count as on the blacks as a clear voting bloc or the Hispanics. Donald Trump is up to 42% support from Hispanics. The black voting bloc, which has been roughly 94% ballpark voting Democrat. The Republicans picked up 10 points among black men, and they're continuing to pick up. So, you know, I don't think that'll play over time. I don't think you can count on any particular racial group supporting any particular party. They're as policy-oriented as most people. Certainly the Hispanics are. The blacks are more tied to the Democratic Party, but the Hispanics are not. The Hispanics, for example, strongly support Donald Trump's border policies. And the blacks, interestingly, the blacks support his border policies more than any other racial group.
What do you think, Don Jorgensen?
Well, in terms of identity politics, I think Republicans had 100% of the white nationalist support, and they courted that. I think the language kind of is indicative of the shifts. Now, I agree with John that there's no real place for identity politics, and you cannot assume that one minority group is going to strictly follow one party or another. The language is indicative of the problem on the right. Referring to a particular group as the blacks or the Hispanics, I think, doesn't get it. And that's what's happening now is, yes, where we have agreement is folks are looking at what policies, what values do they share with whoever's running. And we can no longer say just Democrat or Republican, although right now it's a binary choice, and it's unlikely that that'll change. But along with the demographic shift, there are also issues shifting, too, that comes with it. And the demographic shift is interesting because it's not just the races that are shifting, the cultures. It's also the age that's shifting as well. You have millennials now, the largest population. That's going to be the case for a couple of decades. And so their issues are going to become more critical in the political landscape and which party is going to respond best to that. Republicans want to have the same old fights on abortions and guns and immigration and race. Well, these and nationalization, all that. These folks have grown up as globalists, if you want to use the word that the right hates. They realize that it's an interconnected society. It's an interconnected world. An isolationist of the type that Donald Trump prefers is not going to be effective. And so they're aware of what's happening now with splitting of relations around the world, where now all of a sudden our friends are our enemies and our enemies are our friends. You know, these folks are aware of that. I think you're going to see the shift toward focus on economics, particularly with millennials now in the workforce and making decisions and affected by income inequality. Interesting note I saw related to this is that typical households now have a net worth 14% lower than 30 years ago. And that's having an effect. But the issues that are of concern to them are the issues that the political parties, and it's typically been the Democrats, but that they, John's correct in that they don't have a hold on any particular minority group. But those, the issues we're hearing most about from these folks are health care, are education, is income fairness, are the human rights issues, as well as the global responsibility that they believe the U.S. still has. So I think it is the shift to which party responds to those issues. And we saw an interesting example of this just in the primary last week in the Bronx, where you had a millennial win, kind of a shock to everyone except those who are paying attention on the ground, responding to those issues and had a high turnout of younger voters.
Yeah, I think that the issue is not race issues. I get a kick out of Don's comments. It isn't the Republicans that have ever brought up the race issue. It's the Democrats that do the identity politics deal. And we both have our sides on guns and abortion. That's not limited to the Republicans. But I think that the issues are what matters, and the age demographics are what's important. Now, I will tell you that my children are classic millennials in their outlook, but they are, interestingly, and I've had lengthy talks with them, highly libertarian. They don't trust government, just like the Republicans, and they don't trust corporations, just like the Democrats. They don't trust anything big. And they want to be left alone to make their way in the economy. They want education to be fair and affordable. They want health care to be fair and affordable. The question is not the those issues. The question is who's going to present over a period of time the solutions in those areas, in the economic areas, the foreign affairs areas, that make people comfortable. Now, the Republicans, far from being isolationist, which is what the Democrats thought President Trump was talking about with America First, he's the president who's trying to solve the Korea problem. He's the president who's trying to get the other NATO countries to pay up their fair share in arms appropriations. He's the president who's going over to deal with Mr. Putin. He's the president who's trying to solve these international problems. And I think Americans have figured out that America First doesn't mean closing the doors to the rest of the world. It means, like any other leader in the country, in any country, it means that we have to deal from the point of view first. We have to deal with the world. We are part of the world, but we have to have fair dealings where America doesn't just fund every other country in the world via high tariffs by other countries, for example. We're going to see how this tariff situation works out. But he's dealing with that for the first time ever. Other countries, China, European Union, implemented a trade war against the United States decades ago.
All right, let's
and he's the first president dealing with that.
Breaking
that's
trade
hardly isolationist.
Slapping tariffs on friends is not a policy. We don't see any forward thinking here, and that's what's missing. Trump's good at breaking deals, reneging, creating enemies out of friends. What I think the U.S. is looking for is a positive move and improvement. We're not seeing that yet. We're just seeing destruction.
Well, I when you say implementing tariffs against friends is not a good thing, that's what our friends in Canada have done.
In response to Trump.
No. Yeah, I'm sorry. They have had a 270% tariff against our dairy products for decades now. They have had very high tariffs against American farm products, as have the Chinese. The European Union has a 25% tariffs on American cars, which is why you don't see Fords and Chevys being driven in Europe. But they've got a 25% tariff on our cars and have for decades. we've got a 2.5% tariff on Mercedes and BMW.
Yeah, it's good to share it. They were also building the cars in the U.S., and so it's threatening jobs in the U.S. It's threatening incomes in the U.S.
But that's why we have...
There are other ways to negotiate, and well, if you only knows one way, and that's to blow things up and then try to pick up the pieces later.
If you have some better ideas on how to bring down other countries' tariffs, let us know.
Well, but
fortunately, we have a lot of good Democratic candidates with a lot of great ideas about that.
I haven't heard any.
Fox doesn't talk about that.
All the Democrats have talked about is don't try to make tariffs fair. Donald Trump went to the G7 meeting last time and said, "I got a good idea how to make fair trade. Let's all eliminate all of our tariffs."
All right,
Doug. And the European Union countries Canada said, no, we don't want to do that.
If he actually practices free trade, then that would be a change.
Let's have fair trade, not just free trade.
All righty. The Monday Political Face-Off brought to you and brought to me by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Don, thank you very much.
A pleasure. Thank you, Bill.
John Munger, thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll take our break right here. General John Wickham will be with us right after this. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. The Regional Transportation Authority funds projects to help make our transportation system safe, reliable, and efficient. Improve regional mobility is important for economic vitality for businesses and families. The RTA continues to finance construction work for 6 new roadway projects scheduled in 2018. For more information on RTA projects, visit rtamobility.com. The RTA is delivering its promise to you. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Hi, it's Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Tuesday during the noon hour, we'll talk with our Washington contributor, Terry Bracey. Plus, we'll meet Dr. James Burns. Dr. Burns is the new head of the Arizona Historical Society. Dr. Ray Woosley has our monthly feature, Your Meds, during the noon hour on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Worldwide live listening, buckmastershow.com. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show on this first Monday in the month of July as we turn the corner, kind of the halfway point of the year already here. Green Things has teamed up with Zocalo. Zocalo has all that great merchandise from Mexico and Latin America. Zocalo will now be located at Green Things over on River Road. It is going to be a terrific marriage between the two. But right now, for a few days only now, you can take advantage of the great pre-move sale over at Zocalo near the corner of Country Club and Broadway before they move over to their permanent home on 13 acres at Green Things. Once a month, we are honored to welcome our military and foreign affairs contributor to the Buckmaster Show, one of two dozen experts that we are just delighted to have on board with us. They've been with us since we launched the program 7.5 years ago. General John Wickham was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987, Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces in Korea from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served a total of 41 years in the United States Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and we welcome him now on the live line and say a happy 90th birthday a couple of days ago to you, General Wickham.
Yes, thanks very much, Bill, for your kindness and your kind card. It's wonderful to be on your great program.
Well, it's great to have you back in the community. I know you were up in Colorado trying to get some cool air. I'm sure it must have felt very invigorating after this very hot summer we're having.
Not too cool, not too invigorating at 9,000 feet.
Yeah, that's a little much trying to catch your breath sometimes at that elevation. General Wickham, let's begin with the situation concerning Korea. Kind of mixed signals despite President Trump's rosy post-summit declaration that the North no longer poses a nuclear threat. Well, both countries have yet to negotiate the terms under which it would relinquish the weapons that it developed over the decades to deter the United States. What's going on?
What's going on, Bill, is very unclear, and I think we need to be very skeptical but open-minded about what can go on. There's news, as you know, today that the North Koreans, based on intelligence, are continuing modernizing their plants that build missiles, missile technology. Now, the North Koreans will do that because it enables them to sell that and get some hard cash for the technology. But it's also an indication that the North Koreans may be continuing to modernize their military capabilities as leverage. I don't think, despite all the rhetoric coming out of Washington, that the North Koreans are going to denuclearize the way we think they are. Our philosophy is complete and irreversible and verifiable denuclearization. I don't think the North Koreans are going to do that. As you know, and many people know, the founder of North Korea, Kim Il-sung, declared during the Korean War that we're losing this war because we are not a nuclear power, and we're going to change that. We're going to get them. And so he is the founder of North Korea and the founder of the arsenal. Why would the North Koreans give up that capability unless there was some sort of ironclad agreement. And yet, as they look over, the North Koreans look over agreements that the United States has done. We're getting rid of a nuclear deal with Iran, which was, I think, a foolish mistake to do that. We're talking about abandoning NATO, even, and the European Union connection. Why would somebody negotiate any kind of a deal with this kind of irresolute nation like the United States appears to be now? So if I were a North Korean, I would not give up the weapons. However, I do believe that we can negotiate a limit or constraint on North Korea the way we did with the USSR during the Cold War. We got the USSR to agree to destroy a number of weapons, to verify that, and to agree to the START agreements. And we can, I think, get the North Koreans to agree to some constraints that are reasonable and verifiable. And there'll have to be some give on that, some quid pro quo, but we should be able to have a treaty ending the Korean War. We should be able to do trade with North Korea. But I think we're going to have to be tough and stop all this rhetoric that seems to say that North Korea is going to be a friend and an ally and somebody we can trust. I don't think we can trust them.
790-2040, 790-2040, if you would like to join in the conversation and ask General Wickham a question, to get a comment from him. He has tremendous expertise in the area of Korea, and he has said all along on this program, there is no way that North Korea is going to give up its entire nuclear arsenal. Am I not quoting you correctly?
Amen, Bill. You're exactly right, and even if the Chinese, I don't think the Chinese are playing a constructive role, although China is, the fact that President Xi is now elected for life in China is reassurance to North Korea, but also Putin having been elected again, there's reassurance that Russia is a good friend. So that North Korea has got reliable, strong support from the North and from the East and the South. So they're in very good shape. And as a matter of fact, even though North Korea appears to be an economic basket case, they are making progress in economic growth. So they do have some minerals in North Korea that are saleable, and they've done that with exports. So North Korea is a dangerous place, no doubt.
All right.
Go ahead, Bill.
Excuse me, General. Let's go now to our live line. Caller Matthew would love to talk with you. Go ahead, Matthew, with the General.
Oh, Matthew's always got good questions.
He does.
Well, I appreciate that, sir. The first, everything I'm going to talk about has to deal specifically with the Army. First of all, the first thing is the new superintendent for West Point. That is a milestone. I think it's long overdue. An African-American should have, been serving as superintendent going back probably the First World War. But obviously the times are right, and so congratulations on that. Second thing is, really quickly, Human Resources Command obviously has announced a policy. Looks like we're going through another downsizing, right-sizing, whatever you want to call it. People policies are the most complicated thing to implement, but My first concern is the cavalier attitude about non-deployables and using two non-deployables to basically remove soldiers from the service. As a former person, you suffered wounds that you know what it's like to try and recover from them. So, and I'm very concerned that they never even mentioned that, if you become pregnant, you automatically become a non-deployable. So I don't know if Human Resources Command has really thought this through before they do a blanket policy.
Right.
Finally, last thing, logistics. General Hodges recently noted that he's very concerned that U.S. Army, Europe, has an inability to move logistically in both Western and Eastern Europe, and that we need to fix that. Anyway, that's it, sir. Bye.
All right. Sounds like a three-part question there. Let's begin with West Point, your alma mater there, General.
Well, that's great that the African-American, I agree with that. It's sort of another move in the right direction. I've always felt we've never done right by African-Americans. I've been a big supporter of Colin Powell and his career and others, and I think we need to move further. We've made a lot of progress, but it's going to take time. We need women in key positions, and we're making progress there, but not enough. We're just going to have to work at it. Transgender, we have to have movement there, progress there. And I think the point about non-deployables is curious. I think it's an interesting point about the uncertainty that occurs when something happens and you become non-deployable. That is an issue. It's very confusing for the average person. But I think he's right. And also, in Europe, we cannot move as rapidly as we could. And that's as Matthew knows, the reason for that has been our focus on the wars in the Middle East and doing counterinsurgency. As a result of that, our base structure has eroded and has fallen into arrears. We need to put more money into that. Look at our infrastructure in America. We, instead of building a dumb wall in the south in Mexico, we should put $40 billion into fixing our roads and schools and infrastructure. That's what America needs. And so I think you're right. We need to fix things that have gone into waste over the past two decades.
Very well done, General. You handled that three-part question very well there. And on that point, we will take our break right here. General Wickham sticks around for another segment, 790-2040. Perhaps there's something you would like to add to our conversation, or perhaps there's something you disagree with the General about. He would be happy to hear from you, whatever the case. We'll be right back. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Did you know that you can check out complete digital editions of popular magazines with your Pima County Public Library card? From Arizona Highways to Yoga Journal and everything in between, the library is your source for entertainment. Visit library.pima.gov and browse the e-library to start checking out your favorite magazines today. That's library.pima.gov.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
With spring in the air, summer will be here before you know it. At Bon Voyage Travel, we want to help you stay cool through the hot summer months, and there's no better way than a Holland America cruise to Alaska. There are hundreds of dates and itineraries to create your perfect Alaska vacation. Why not add a Rocky Mountaineer train journey while you're there to explore all of North America? Call Bon Voyage Travel today at 797-1110 or visit bvtravel.com.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
Welcome back. This portion of the Buckmaster Show, presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. This is a great time of year to go over to Silver City. It's only about a three-hour drive. Here's the good news. Once you get there, it's going to be 15 degrees cooler because of their elevation at about 6,000 feet, something like that. Great hiking and just exploring historic Silver City or just hanging out in a lovely environment. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. There you will find the complete list of the many places to stay, and there are several dozen recreation opportunities, including visiting the National Monument, the Gila Cliff Dwellings Monument, just north of Silver City. Great place to visit in the summertime for sure. General John Wickham is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. General Wickham, let's talk a little bit about the VA. The administration continues the efforts to privatize Veterans Administration care. Would this be a huge mistake if they do that?
With capital H, Bill, the VA knows veterans, and they've been dealing with it. When I've talked to the staff at the hospitals on my visits to shake hands with veterans, I find that the nurses remain there twice as long as anywhere else in Arizona, and the doctors the same way. And the Obama administration had every year asked for more funding to hire more medical people and to expand the hospital structure, but Congress did not walk the talk. Congress says we support veterans, but they won't put the money into it. So it's a failure on the part of politicians that we are suffering as we are to a degree with our VA care. So privatization, why is the administration doing that? It's doing that because President Trump is appealing to his base. I'm now going to get more people involved in jobs in the commercial sector that will be helping veterans instead of the federal government. I think it's wrong.
With a capital W.
Capital W, yeah. And it's, so I just think it's foolish that we do this.
What do you think about President Trump saying we need another branch of the military?
I think that's another foolish idea, and it derives from the same philosophy. The administration wants to put more federal dollars into the corporate sector and let us fund companies that are doing spatial research and building perhaps engines that can go into space. So what the Trump administration is proposing is creation of a sixth combat command, space command. We already have five with Army, Navy, Air Force, Marine Corps, Coast Guard, and this would be a sixth one. I just think it's a foolish thing to do because it's more bureaucracy. The Air Force has been doing a gangbusters job in space research for decades, and they have the talent. And so why go ahead with this thing? I just think it's foolish. I don't think they're getting good advice at all from the military. I don't think you're asking the right people about this.
Yeah, because the Air Force, certainly since post-World War II, the Air Force has been where all the space activity has pretty much been going on.
That's right. I've got classmates that have been astronauts. So I just think it's another indication that this administration, I don't want to get into politics, but this administration does not read history, does not listen to solid advice. Why is the chief of staff now, John Kelly, the Marine Corps is doing a good job, apparently, according to news media, is about ready to leave the job of Chief of Staff, and President Trump is looking for other people to replace him. It's a manifestation of chaos in the White House, and I think it's because they don't get along with each other, and the National Security Advisor that Trump has brought into the White House has alienated the people. He's the one who has made this talk about denuclearization of North Korea would be like what we have done with Libya. And that drives the North Koreans berserk to think that the Libyan example applies to them at all. So I just don't think we've got good leadership, and we're just going to have to work our way through it.
And you think General Kelly has done a pretty darn good job, don't you?
Yes, he has. He's reliable. He's lived the business of Washington, and I think he's a man that will tell the boss you let your clothes off and shouldn't be out on the street. So I think he's been a good job. I think General Mathis, the Secretary of Defense, also has done a good job. Apparently, interesting, Mathis was in China and leaning on the presidency about we need to get you to stop all of this activity in the South China Sea, building islands and trying to act independently there. And President Xi told General Mathis, we're not going to budge an inch. We're going to continue to do what we're doing. That's our domain, our sea. It's kind of like the Caribbean. We regard the Caribbean as our sea, even though we don't own it. And so we need to recognize that China does have a national interest in the South China Sea, and we're going to have to work with them rather than fight them or trouble them over it.
General John Wickham with us on the live line, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. General Wickham, what's going on with Afghanistan? I really feel bad for all of the American service people who are over there because it is like this forgotten war.
It is. You're exactly right, Bill. It's a war that's provincial in a way. There are more nations that need to be involved. India, for example, and Russia, although Russia did fight there, but they can be helpful. But we don't get them involved. And we're not sort of trying to build a regional coalition to deal with it and share some of the cost. France and Britain should be involved, but they're not. And China could be helpful, as they have in the past. But we haven't enlisted them. Yes, you're right, it's a war that's going to continue. We're spending billions of dollars, maybe $20 billion, just to maintain their military. And that's okay, we're going to have to spend that kind of money. But I don't think we should have our people over there fighting or advising, except on special occasions.
All right, General Wickham, did you do anything special for your 90th birthday?
I met family. Family is the most important thing in our lives. But I wanted to say one brief thing, Bill, on your wonderful program. We're about to come to the 4th of July anniversary of America. And a remarkable thing for all of us to recognize is that the America was founded on as a republic. The Continental Army leaned on Washington again and again to become king. And Washington told the people, the military people, no, we did not fight this war to get rid of one king to have another king. We fought this war to have a republic of the people, for the people. And during the First Continental Congress, when the congressional people were trying to write a constitution in frustration, many of the delegates were leaving the building in frustration, and Washington turned to his friend Ben Franklin and said, Ben, please address this group. And Franklin, who was 86 years old, stood and he said to the group, we fought this war with God's help and won it. And now we need God's help to write this Constitution. And everyone bent down and wrote the Constitution. And ever since that time, we've begun every day of Congress, both houses, a day with prayer by official pastors as a recognition of the strength of our country. We need to recognize that kind of history, and I'm not sure we're doing it now.
All right, General Wickham, well said, my friend. And again, everybody here wishing you a happy 90th birthday, and we really are just so honored to have you as a part of our program. Thank you, sir.
God bless, Bill. Thank you for your wonderful program.
Thank you very much. General John Wickham on the live line with us from his home in Oro Valley. Coming up this afternoon, Mic Check with Mike Shaw. Program on from 4 to 6, Wake Up Tucson 6 to 9, then me, Bill Buckmaster. With you tomorrow, we'll be with you from 12:04 to 1, just like we have been here on KVOI. Actually, 7.5 years now on KVOI already. Well, no, 7 years here and then 30. Well, anyway, going up to, I know it's a long, right, Bob Dio, it's been a long time. Anyway, have a great afternoon and evening.